Yeah, so I'd like to look in the Word of God today. I feel the Lord is talking about a hiding place today. And Psalm 17, and maybe you're going to help me with some other verses that you know of, because I kind of put this together in a kind of a hasty manner here today. Just wrote a few scriptures down that I'd like to look at. But look in Psalm 17, verse 8. We're going to see some things that David is saying here. First of all, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. So we really need to go to verse 9 along with that. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. Hallelujah. Go back here to verse 8 again. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Do you know what that saying actually means? The apple of the eye? It's actually speaking of the pupil of your eye. Now you say, well, what does that have to do? Let me ask you something. What part of your body do you guard probably more than any other part of your body? The first thing that you, and the first thing and the last thing that you defend on your body, it's your eye. When the dust blows, your eyes instantly go shut to protect your eye. I mean, you're not afraid of getting dust in your hand. Well, you probably are, but you don't have an instant reflex to protect it. The instant reflex that you have protects your eye. And I was watching, I don't know what it was, one of these nature programs somewhere, sometime on television or something of the sort. And they were showing how these birds of carrion come to eat dead flesh, and how these raven and crow-like creatures, vulture type, they come upon a body that is laying there, and the way they test to see whether the thing is dead is they pick at the eye. And if the animal's eye still reacts, in other words, if he protects his eye, they know that he's not dead, and they won't go after him until he's dead. But the way they know is that they go after the eye. And I think what the Lord is saying here, or what David is saying to the Lord, is protect me, keep me as one would protect his eye. The most precious part, the most delicate part of our being, perhaps, is our eyes. The most vulnerable in the natural would be our eyes. David is saying, Lord, treat me as if I was the very pupil of your eye. Amen? Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Now, why would David want to be hid? Why would he want to be protected in this manner? He goes on in the next verse and he gives the reason that he would need such a protection. He says, from the wicked that oppress me. Now, the wicked that oppress are not just people, are they? They are spirits that come to oppress us. And oppress, depress, all these press, pressures that come to oppress, obsess, possess. Lord, keep me from them. Hallelujah. These are deadly enemies who compass me about. That means they encircle round about me. What have you ever seen how these animals that are animals of what should we call that? Animals of that take prey? Wolves, lions, predators. Yeah. Have you ever seen the tactic that they use? They surround the victim. I've seen wolves do this in the Arctic. They get around a moose, and they'll come in and just harass and harass and harass until they wear that animal right down to where they can't defend themselves anymore at all. The hyenas will do that. Aren't they horrible, demonic-looking creatures that look like agents of hell themselves, really? Come around a creature, and they'll just come and nip. Lions are a little more aggressive about it. I mean, lion just jumps on their back and starts to drag them down, you know. But anyway, this is the way the devil thinks about us. This is his modus operandi, M.O., is to try to compass you about. And this is why the Word of God says, calls out to the Lord, compass me about with what? Songs of deliverance. Thou hast compassed me about. So, in other words, the enemy is not going to be the one coming around nipping at our flanks, but the Lord, amen. What did he say when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? What is the phrase that was used there? The angel of the Lord encompasses round about, how does that verse go? Those that fear him? Yes. Now, can you imagine the angel of the Lord encompassing round about you? You say, what, one angel of the Lord? How can he get all the way around me? But you see, you've got to see this. The angel of the Lord is really the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is everywhere. And his spirit is everywhere. Amen? And therefore he can encompass me round about. Now let's go to another verse here. And we're going to be asking, why is the Word saying these things to hide me? Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Amen. What is the hiding under the shadow of the wings all about? Have any of you had the privilege of raising hens that have little chicks? And the hen calls to her little chicks when the hawk flies over. Just the shadow of that hawk flying over, the hen sees it right away. I mean, the hawk can be way up, too high to make a dive, but that hen sees it right away. And she calls her little chicks, cluck, cluck, cluck. And they immediately, they know her voice and they come running, and she puts her wings over them, the feathers of her wings over them. It isn't just a shadow from the heat, it's she is laying her life down for those babies that she has. She will give her life before she'll allow them to be taken when they are very young and vulnerable like that. Psalm 27, we got another verse here. Psalm 27, hallelujah. I'm going to start with the first verse here because it's good all the way. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? How many of you know that song? You know it, don't you? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Anyway, but you know that song, don't you, Marilyn?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know it, Rita? Oh, we're going to have to learn that song properly, and then I won't stumble around on it. Anyway, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, what happened?
They stumbled
and fell. Listen, remember this. Remember this. When the enemy comes against you, remember to lay claim to this. You're coming to eat my flesh, devil. You are going to stumble and fall. Hallelujah. You're the one that's going to be down on the ground. Hallelujah. Though a host should encamp against me. How many is a host? A multitude. We're talking about unseen spirit powers. Though a host of them should encamp against me, Amen. My heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. Brethren, we are living in the end times, and the prophetic word that we are hearing in this hour indicates that war shall be declared against the saints of the Most High God. Amen. And for a season, God has allowed us to be in that place where we have been overcome by the foes of darkness. But it's going to come to an end. Amen?
Amen.
In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is the one thing you desire of the Lord? Riches? Prosperity? A new car? No. One thing I desire of the Lord, amen, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Amen. Now, when we're inquiring in the temple of the Lord, what are we inquiring into? What is the temple of the Lord in this day and in this hour? Where is the dwelling place of the Lord? It's in us. Amen. It's in the body of Christ. I remember the time that I didn't understand this. I lived in a time of, there was great trouble in my life. Yes, great trouble in my life. I thought I was going to be swallowed up. And I remember I went to another church back in my home area. I went back to the old church where I remember one Sunday. This is way back in the 70s sometime. And I remember being so distressed in my soul that I cried out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, Lord, where are you? Lord, I need help. I remember crying out within me. I don't know whether I did it out loud or not. But I know that my heart was crying out. I'm looking up. I remember I'm looking up and I'm crying, Lord, where are you? I need you. I'm in a desperate place. And I heard the voice of the Spirit very clearly and distinctly. It surprised me. I heard a voice down in here. And He said, I'm down in here. What are you hollering about? And I thought, oh, isn't this nice? He's not way out there somewhere. He's not out there in a bunch of stars or wherever that I have to holler real loud to get His attention. No, He's not out there. The voice said, I'm down in here. This is where you'll find me. I said, oh, Lord, that's good. You're not as far. You're not very far away. Amen. Now here we are. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. How many of you believe we're coming into a time of trouble? You believe that prophetic word that Dave Wilkerson put out here this past week? A time of trouble. I mean, you don't believe it just because Dave Wilkerson said it. You believe it because it's in the Word of God. Because Jesus said it. He said, a time of trouble such as this earth has never known before and never again will come upon this earth. Now, why did He bother to tell us about that? A, if we're not going to be here, and if it doesn't involve us, you know, I used to hear so many back when I was in my 20s, had some Baptist friends and others, evangelical persuasion, and every time we get on the subject of the end times of the world and the tribulation and things that were coming upon the world, they would always finish their sentence by saying, but we don't have to worry about that. And I mean, I had never heard this doctrine, and I said, what? Why not? Why do you think it's in the Bible? Oh, well, we're not going to be here. We're going to be caught away before it happens. And I was just miffed at this. And of course, I never challenged it. I didn't know enough to say, well, what about thus and thus? And then I'd find myself having another conversation a few months later with some people, and they would always finish the sentence by saying, but we don't have to worry about that because we won't be here. Well, the Lord says there's going to be a time of trouble, amen, and the elect is going to be here. And then a brother that I went to one time to seek counsel asked him, who is the elect? He said, well, that's the Jews, of course. Well, it bothered me so that one day I went to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I've got to know the answer to these questions. I can't preach your word and I can't teach your word unless I know what I'm preaching and know what I'm teaching. I've got to have the answer. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me again. He says, well, look it up. I said, what do you mean, look it up? The Spirit said, well, you have a concordance, don't you? I said, oh yeah, what a great idea. Imagine a teacher of the word not thinking about looking at a concordance. Isn't the Lord good? Well, he says, for in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now, what the Lord is saying is that he has a hiding place for us, isn't he? Amen? In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Hallelujah. So, the Lord has a hiding place for us, doesn't he? And it's designed for what? It's designed for a time of trouble. You know, I don't believe that we seek out that hiding place when we're not in trouble. Do you understand what I mean? When things are going smoothly, when we have no trouble, how many of you are down on your knees, travailing before the Lord, weeping and crying out, and saying, oh Lord, save me. Oh Lord, you've got to find an answer to my troubles. Are you down on your knees crying like that when you're not in trouble? No. You're like me. You're saying, oh, this is good. This is good. I mean, this is a nice springtime day. I mean, the sun is shining. I mean, my enemies seem to be far away. Oh Lord, this is good. I mean, I can take this. But when we come into trouble, we begin to call on the name of the Lord, don't we? You know, sometimes I remember the time when I was thinking, Lord, it's been a while since I've seen trouble. Am I in trouble, Lord? Have you forgotten about me? Have you forgotten about my salvation? Because Lord, I know that my salvation works best when there's some kind of distress and trouble and fiery trials in my life. Now, I'm a little reluctant to ask God for fiery trials. Nevertheless, I will submit when the Lord brings them. Do you understand? Hopefully, some of these tests, we made it through. Hopefully, we got the right answers on the questions. Hopefully we responded the right way to the Lord's dealings and we don't have to go through the same one over and over again. Hallelujah. But let us not despise the dealing of the Lord. Alright, so there is a place in Him. There is a place in Him that we can hide in a time of trouble. Now let me go over to Isaiah 26. We're not looking at a long message here today, brethren. But now here's the one. When was it, Rita? A year ago? Longer than a year ago? How long has this been on our refrigerator? 2 years? Probably. Anyway, the Lord spoke to Rita and said, here's the word that I want you to have. I want you to begin to focus on this word. Amen? And it was Isaiah 26:20. In fact, we focused on it to the extent that I went to the computer, I put super large print, I printed it out, and it's been on the very front of our refrigerator. Every time we go to that refrigerator, before we open the door, there it is in big, large letters, this particular passage from Isaiah 26. Come, my people. Who is this word written for? Us. The Lord's people. Come, my people. What is he saying? Is he saying, go, my people? No. He is not. This is not a send-out word. This is a come-in word. Amen? Come, my people. Amen? Enter thou into thy chambers. You know, I discovered a couple years ago something that I didn't know about Noah going into the ark. I discovered, if you go back to Genesis, the 6th chapter, that it says that God called to Noah and said, come, come, in with your family, come into the ark. Now for God to be calling and tell you to come, that means that He's in there. Do you understand? God went in the ark before Noah did. Well, you say, well, God is everywhere. Yes, God is everywhere. But there was a manifestation of the presence of God. You know, brethren, God is everywhere. And yet, He is also in a place where the anointing of His presence is in a greater fullness. We discovered that when we go out overseas, like we go to the Philippines, when we go out, yes, it's a 13-hour time change. You don't sleep on the airplanes going over. I mean, it's not a nice bed to sleep in. And how long did we figure that flight took? Almost the whole travel, 24 hours at least. You know, you don't rest. And then you land in a strange place, and their clock is 13 hours ahead of you. And yet, we just shifted right in. I mean, wake up the next morning on their time, and go to bed on their time, wake up on their time. Why? Because the anointing presence of the Lord is there. It's like coming into the ark. There's the presence of the Lord there in a manifest manner that you didn't sense it when you were outside of the ark. And it's so different. Now when we come home, it just seems like this presence is lifted. Oh, the Lord is still here. The Lord is still with us. The Lord is still watching over us. But that same kind of presence, it's not there. And we come home and, oh, sleep all day long, you know, drowsy for 3 days, can't get it together. You know, somehow this plugged up sinuses are bothering you, you know. Why? Why did the anointing of the Lord leave? Because the job was done. I suppose we need to be praying more for the presence of the Lord as we return, and I'm sure He would give it. We need to be praying against the backlash of Satan, because Satan can't... You know, when you're in that place in God, Satan can't touch you? Do you know that? Bind the presence of... Bind the plots and plans and schemes of Satan. And I tell you, Janet used to be a real warrior about binding the devil. And she'd bind the devil on the way home because she realized that he was apt to give a backlash of some sort. As soon as we crossed out, she'd bind every devil in every place, bind the devil, bind the principalities of New York, bind the principalities of the Atlantic Ocean, bind the principalities of Europe, Germany, you know, every name them all off, and then wouldn't unbind them when we got home. But why did we do this? Because we discovered that Satan would take advantage. If he found you in a place where you were not in the secret of his pavilion, he would try to take advantage of you and try to send his robbing, plundering, locust, palmer worm, canker worm type of thing in. Try to do mischief against you. Try to get even with you. All right. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers. He's calling us to come in. He's not sending us in. He's not sending us into a place where He is not there. He is calling us to come in. Hallelujah. And shut thy doors about thee. He's saying that He wants us shut in. You know, when a door is shut, do you realize what that does? The shutting of a door, it depends on which side of that door you're on. If you're on the inside of that door, you see, the house has a door on the outside, doesn't it? A room has a door. If you go into that room and you shut the door, then in what position are you? You're shut in. Amen? But if you're on the outside of that door and that door is shut, and let's say that door is locked, now what? You're shut out. Which side of the door do you want to be? Amen. I want to be shut in. Remember the parable of the virgins. There came a time at midnight When the cry went out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Now they went out of something of flesh, but they must have entered into something in a bride chamber with him. And it says, "And the door was shut." And then came the other virgins, the foolish ones, and they said, "What? Lord, Lord, what? Open unto us." And they said, and they got the answer, "I don't know you." So the call to come in is a call to partake of him in an intimate manner. If he doesn't know you, he's not going to call you to come in to the secret place of the Most High. And so he expects us to know him even before the call of entering in. Amen. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment." What is the point of hiding? Why was David asking God to hide him in the secret place of his pavilion under the shadow of his wings? Hide from what? Are we hiding from the Lord? No. Jonah went out to try to hide from the Lord, didn't he? But he wasn't very successful at it. Amen? What was that?
You can't hide
from the Lord. No. Amen? But we're asking the Lord here to hide us from the enemy and to hide us from the trouble. Now, the prophecy said that this is the time of the judgment of God. In other words, God is in this indignation that's coming. But it is not meant for the saints of the Most High God. It is not meant for the elect. The elect will be here, but it is meant for the judgment of the world. And therefore, God hide us from that wrath of the judgment upon this world. But he's saying to us, there's something you need to do about it. It isn't saying, "Well, I'm just going to grab you and snatch you away and you don't have to worry about it." That's not what God is saying. He is saying that you have a responsibility. You come at my call. You obey me. When I call, you come. You don't need to come until I call, but when I call, I want you to come. This will be your responsibility to yield to the voice of the Spirit of God. Now, you can't make him talk when he's not ready to talk. How many of you discovered that? You can't make God talk. You can't twist his arm. You can't manipulate God. You can't make a deal with God. You can't say, "Well, I demand that you answer me now." No, he doesn't have to answer you until he's ready to answer you. Why? Because he's God. Amen? That means he's the boss. So, "Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed." Notice there's an end to it. There's a time when the indignation comes to an end. Hallelujah. And what is this indignation all about? He's telling it in the next verse. "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity." The Lord comes out of his place. I don't know if I really understand completely what that means. Apparently, things have been going on in such a manner that the people of the earth have been saying, "Well, the Lord doesn't care. He doesn't know yea or nay. Things are going to go on just the way they have all along. The Lord must be asleep. He's on some big rocking chair up there in heaven, and he's just fallen asleep or something." But you see, it says here that the Lord is coming out of the place that men have perceived that he is. It's not that he's hidden away. It's that he's been quiet about this realm of judgment. But he's going to come out of that quietness. He's going to come out of that place, and he's going to manifest, make himself known to all the world, and they are going to know that there is a God. You know, I read these articles on look at these articles on science that men write of science. Here they have gone on for what, 200 years since Darwin? Isn't this year his 200th anniversary of his birth? And all these National Geographic and all these are making such a big deal of this. And I'm sitting back and thinking, you guys just can't leave it alone, can you? You just can't leave it alone. It is such a bunch of stupidity, but it just seems like every couple of months you've got to stir this thing up. You can't write an article about anything without saying evolution, millions of years. They just can't write an article without saying it. And I'm thinking, Lord, isn't there coming a day when all this deception is going to, I mean, you're going to make it plain one day, are you not? You're going to make it clear that these people are all a bunch of fools that are talking this way. But he's been quiet, hasn't he? And I'm thinking, he just quietly let men of the world who choose to be deceived, he's just letting them go on with their deception. He's let this thing go on for 200 years. He hasn't jumped in and said, oh, wait a minute, stop everything. I'm not going to allow that thing to be said at all. He hasn't jumped into the school systems and tried to correct all this false doctrine that they're teaching in the schools. He's just quietly letting it go on. But Isaiah says he's coming out of his place of quietness, and the inhabitants of the earth are going to know that there is a God. Amen? For their iniquity, for their rebellion, for their self-directed ways that have not been of God, the earth also shall disclose her blood. My goodness, how much blood do you suppose the earth is going to disclose? Brother, have you been reading about how some of these politicians have gotten themselves into the position that they are? Have any of you read some of the background of that some of the writers have dug up about some of these politicians and the politician families? I remember reading a book years ago, a sister in Colorado showed us, about the Clintons. Oh my, oh my, oh my. The blood that's going to be disclosed. And I'm wondering about some of the others. The blood that's going to be disclosed. It's going to be disclosed, brethren. And you know, when it says the blood is going to be disclosed, I believe that a lot more than just blood is going to be disclosed. I believe the whole wicked tree is going to be exposed for what it is. My goodness. Hallelujah. And shall no more cover her slain. Well, this reminds me of Psalm 91. And you know, I keep referring to Psalm 91 and we never really take the time to go through it. Can I go through it for just a little bit? There are so many things, so many references to our being hidden in Christ. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth. Amen. How many of you dwell in this building? No. You don't sleep here? You don't get up here and have your breakfast here, do you? No. When you come home from work or whatever, you don't come here. This isn't where you dwell. But you do have a place where you dwell, don't you? It's where your bed is. It's where your kitchen table is. It's where the things that you call home, that's where you dwell. Now, you visit here, and you visit other places. Maybe you visit Burger King or McDonald's. You don't live there, though, do you? Just make a visit there. Okay? But God wants us to dwell That means to make our home in the secret place of the Most High. Who's the Most High? Isn't He the Most High? The Lord? He wants us to live in His secret place. Now, what is a secret place? What does that imply? A secret place is one that not everybody knows about, isn't it? A secret place probably doesn't have a real big crowd there, does it? Probably a pretty small group that know about it. Word gets out, there's a secret place. But you know, not everybody goes out looking for secrets, do they? It takes a certain amount of effort to expose a secret, doesn't it? You've got to really dig into it. You've got to really spend some time. You know, I suppose a good journalist, if he really wants to expose some secrets about some famous men, he really has to put in some time. And the thing about it is they don't want to expose their secrets, do they? Because they're not all nice secrets. All right, but this is a nice secret. It's one that the Lord has available for us. It's under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, a shadow is a good thing to have, isn't it? On a hot day, when the sun is hot, when the temperature is 130 degrees, like it is in the desert, where the children of Israel were walking, I think the temperature went up to about 130 degrees out there. And you know, I don't know if any of you have ever been in temperatures like that. I was for a little bit in India. And oh my, I have a real appreciation for Indian people that can live in those temperatures. Amen, because it didn't do well for me. I just did not want to live there. But you know, I'll tell you something else. When we were in India, we were in a place in God that I have never been before. And I found myself praying in a way that I don't pray at home. I would go to bed with the word of the Lord on my lips. Oh God. I remember saying as I lay in that bed, oh God, I could not survive here without you. And I remember waking up. Sometimes we didn't always have air conditioning in those hotels in India. And I remember waking up with a sheet on me, the sheet almost wet enough that you could wring the sweat out of it. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm losing water here big time. Lord, I will die if you don't protect us and keep us. And you know, we were in, the brethren that went with, we were in a place in God. People say, well, how would you dare go to some of these places? You know what? If God is sending you to that place, you will be in a place in God that you will not be able to identify from other experiences you've had in life, probably. You will say, my God, I've never been in this place before. This is a good place. I wish I could be in this place when I get back home. But you know what? When I get back home, I'm not in that trouble. And therefore, that anointing presence of God isn't there because I don't need it. This is why I'm saying with confidence, brethren, when that time of trouble comes upon the earth that the prophets are talking about, when that time comes, we will need to be in that place, and we will call upon the Lord, and we will be in that place. Do you believe me? Somebody can say amen. All right. Good. I feel better about that now. Amen. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. See, I'm not going to say, oh well, all the planning that I've done and all the preparation, that's my refuge. No. Fine, I will do planning and preparation, but that will not be the ultimate call of my refuge. If I don't make the Lord my refuge, all that is for naught. You know what? There's other people that are storing food and everything else, but they don't believe in the Word. And yet they're doing it. You know what? I don't think it's going to accomplish anything for them. It's going to be a failure. Thieves and robbers are going to come in and plunder what they have prepared. Only God can protect. Do you know the Mormons believe in this? Every Mormon is required to store up, what, 7 years' supply of some kind of food? Aren't they, Larry? Oh, yeah. I used to get a newsletter written by a Mormon, financial, you know. I mean, he'd go through this in his newsletter. He'd go through the story, you know, the collecting of gold and silver and everything else, you know, how they were all... I mean, the Mormons believe this, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ, the same Jesus that we believe in. They're coming around.
Yes, they are.
Well, I hope so.
They're not preaching the Book of Mormon anymore. They have, whatever reason, they have turned Bible.
Well, I hope that God shows them the light. Amen. That they really come to the reality of the true Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, anyway, let me go on here. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. The song that we were singing this morning. In the secret place of the Most High. Under the shadow of his wings. Hallelujah. Deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The snare is a trap. It's a trap that you don't know is waiting for you. The bird that gets caught in that trap hasn't a clue that that trap is waiting to catch her. Jesus will deliver you from snares that you don't even know about. You won't even know you've been delivered from them. You know, sometimes I wonder, Lord, what have you really saved my feet from? I will probably never know. Someday I hope that you sit down with me, Lord, when it's all over, and tell me, son, you were walking for a terrible trap back in thus and thus. And I saw it, and I turned it aside, and I protected you, son. Oh, Lord, I thank you so much. And you know what? Another time you were headed for thus and thus, and you were headed for destruction, son, and I stopped it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Isn't this so?
Yeah, you'll be able to read about it.
Yes. Amen. And from the noisome pestilence. What is a noisome pestilence?
Noisome.
N-O-I-S-O-M-E. Noisome pestilence. It says perilous or deadly pestilence. Amen. They're talking about... I just saw another article in the Time magazine, this flu thing. They're beginning to notice, what do they call it, the H1 element, I don't know what H1 is, of the flu virus, and they believe that it was this H1 element that accounted for the flu pandemic of 1918. How many million did they say died from that? Millions. There were millions that died from that flu pandemic. And these people that study these vaccines, they said that in 2007, that only 30%, I believe, of the H1, the viruses that had the H1 element in it, were resistant to the... There's an antibiotic that is useful. Apparently, it can kill some of the flu virus. This year, what they've discovered is that 90-some percent of the flu... material, the influenza... stuff, the real stuff, that they've sent into these laboratories, 98% is resistant to those that have that H1 element to the antibiotic that's useful against it. And they are saying that if this increases, another 1918 could be upon us. And you know what? You would have no protection. Vaccines wouldn't do a thing. Wouldn't do a thing. Here's where we need to get vaccinated, brethren. And from the noisome pestilence. Amen? He shall cover thee with his feathers. We talked about that. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Remember when Jesus stood over Jerusalem the very last, before he was crucified, he stood there on the edge of the mount, I believe, and he looked down into Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would love to take you under my wings as a mother hen. I would protect you from what I can see is coming," but she would not. He could see the destruction of Jerusalem that was coming. The Roman armies coming. He could see the starvation. He could see the flowing of blood. He could see the terrible things that were going to happen to those people. He said, "If only you would come to me, I would put you under my wings and I would keep you from this thing that is coming." But you would not. And I believe the Lord is saying the same thing today to this world. Oh, people, if you would only come to me, I'll put you under my wings and I'll protect you and I'll keep you from what is coming upon all the earth. Hallelujah. "Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night." Amen. Isn't this the plot and the mode of the terrorist? The whole idea of terrorist is to get us to move by fear and terror. You know, people say, "We were terrorized by that." Well, if you don't have fear, you can't be terrorized by anything. I mean, let it fall on your right and let 1,000 fall on your right and 10,000 on your left. You are not terrorized by it because you know it's not going to touch you. And if it does, blessed be the Lord, it's my time to go. Hallelujah. Therefore, I still will not be afraid. Hallelujah. "Nor the arrow that flieth by day." Do you know what this arrow really means? Missile. "Nor for the missiles that fly by day." Doesn't matter. Day, night, doesn't matter. Missiles that fly usually fly from somewhere on the other side of the earth. Oh, you read, oh, North Korea's got a missile now that could reach Alaska, you know. Russians have had missiles for years and years that could fly all the way over here. Why missiles? Just some little thing that comes thunk? No. Because the missiles are carrying nuclear weapons. Weapons capable of destroying a million at a time. Or more. Contaminating the atmosphere. It says we will not be afraid of these things. Amen? And as I said, "Nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday." My goodness, it was right in the broad daylight that the destruction took down the Twin Towers of New York City, wasn't it? It wasn't at night. They didn't want it done at night. Why? Because nobody would have been in the place. They want it done in the daytime when there's a maximum population that they can destroy. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 on thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, brethren, are we believing what this says?
Yeah.
We're not walking in fear. The prophetic word that we're hearing is not causing fear in us. It is no more than as if we're reading some factual things about history. Oh, it happened, it was really bad, it was terrible, but it didn't come near us. And this is the way I think God wants us to look at it. If we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. This verse came to me when that terrible ice storm hit our region back, when was it? Back in January, was it? December, I think it was. My goodness, there's still a horrible pile of trees in the backyard, which I'm going to have to come with a saw here and saw them up and put the branches out, you know. But as I was sitting, you know, we didn't even lose power. I don't know if we did for 15 minutes. I don't think we lost power at all. And the word of the Lord came to me as I was hearing these reports from all over this region. How I mean, we went over to where that area where Dana lives, over near Mechanicsville. My goodness. You think an army went through there with, I mean, just tearing bombs going. I mean, the place looks, every tree denuded, you know, branches off just about every tree. It looked terrible over there. And this word came to me, only with thine eyes shalt thou see and behold the destruction of the wicked. Amen. But it shall not come nigh thee. Hallelujah. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thine habitation. There he's going again, repeating the first verse. It is because of that. It is no other reason than that. It is not because you deserve it. It's not because you're extra good. It's not because you've done so many charitable good deeds and given this and done that. No, it's because you have made your dwelling place in the Lord Himself. You live in Him and have your being in Him. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. There's where we're talking about these flus and these. You know, I read an article about germ warfare. I think I still have it. I might have printed it. My goodness, you know what? If I was going to be afraid of anything, I'd be more afraid of that than I would nuclear bombs. The capability that some of that stuff has. But it says here, it's not going to come near my dwelling. Why? Because my dwelling is Him. And it can't touch Him because He's God. So if I'm in Him, if my dwelling is in Him, then that means that He is my dwelling. My dwelling is surrounded by Him. That means they can come down my road shooting at me all they want, but it won't do anything because you can't shoot God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is my dwelling place. Hallelujah. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, isn't this the word that the devil tried to bring to Jesus? Didn't the devil say, well, it is written, so let's just test this thing out. Just jump off this thing here and, I mean, He'll take care of you. You won't dash your foot against the stone. You won't get hurt at all. No, devil. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. I'm not going to tempt God and put myself purposely in a position and say, well now, your word says thus and thus, therefore you have to take care of me. No, I'm not going to go out like that. If the Lord tells me not to go out of my dwelling place, I'm not going to go out. Remember, He told the children of Israel on the night of the Passover, nobody goes out of their dwelling place. You remain shut in the natural, in your house, under the shadow of the Almighty with the blood on the lintel and upon the doorposts of your house. Now, if they had disobeyed God and gone out in the streets and said, well, I don't need to be in here anymore. I've put the blood on, now I can go wherever I want to go. No, there would be no protection for them. And you see, this is why I believe that the protection of God cannot be upon the outer court. Because the outer court is not walking in full obedience to the Lord. They're walking only in partial obedience. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to walk that way. I want to walk in the fullness of Christ. Amen? Thou shalt tread upon the lion. In what condition are you going to be able to walk on lions? When I see pictures of lions, I know that they are vicious beasts. What do they weigh? About 400 or 500 pounds? Claws, teeth. Pretty powerful. I watch a lion jump on a wildebeest, and that lion can take a wildebeest down. Big beasts. Big cattle that weigh about a half a ton. This lion can take them down. He says that I will tread. And we're talking about spirits now, aren't we? We're talking about powerful demon spirits. Demon spirits that have intimidated us so to such an extent that we believe we have no way to escape from them. He says, no, you're going to walk on them. Amen? The adder. The adder is a poisonous serpent. Probably talking about cobras. How many of you would like to meet a cobra? No. No, I don't want anything to do with them. The young lion. The dragon. I don't want to meet the dragon either. Do you? Talking about a serpent here. Shalt thou trample under feet. Here we go back again on the because. Why? Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. That's God talking here, isn't it? He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. My goodness, don't you long for that? Don't you long for the day when all you have to do is call upon him? Get your answer, just like that. You know what? God is saying that when we come into that time of trouble, all we're going to do is call, and we're going to get an answer just like that. I believe that some of you can remember times in your life when you called and he'd answer. You called, he'd give you a word. You prayed, you asked, got an answer. Say, well, God, you're not that quick about answering me today. No, we've grown up a little bit, haven't we? We're a little more mature. But you know what he says? When we come back into this time of trouble, you call, I'll answer. Amen? And I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How many of you want that promise too? How many of you want long life? How many of you want to be satisfied with the Lord? How many of you want to see the fullness of His salvation in your life? Yes, I do too. You know what that means? You know what salvation means? You know what David meant when he was talking about seeing the salvation of God? David was talking about a time when all his enemies would be defeated. There would be no more threat of any kind against him. That's my salvation. My salvation is when the devil is totally put under the feet of the church. Amen. The angel of God throws him into the abyss and locks the door shut, and he can't come out. That's my salvation. That's the fullness of my salvation.
I think to show what that means, not to understand it and to experience it.
Yes. And then there's one other verse. There's someone else that's going to try to hide, but they're not going to be very successful at it. Revelation chapter 6. Now this is the opening of the sixth seal, and this is a time of great trouble. I'll start in verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. That means that there's a shaking in the natural realm. How many of you believe there's already a shaking going on in the natural realm? There's an earthquake in the finances of the whole earth, isn't there? My goodness, this trouble that we're having it's in the Far East, it's in Europe. Somebody was telling me these European bankers have lost more money than the American banks have. Millions more. There's a shaking going on. Amen? A great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The word of the Lord, the presence of the Lord was not known to the earth. The church, the old order church system, blood. Amen? And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth. We've been through this before. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Stars are the great ones of God. Some of the big time ones, they're falling. Falling from a mighty wind. And who is that mighty wind? The Lord is that mighty wind, isn't he? He's shaking things up pretty bad, isn't he? And the heaven departed as a scroll. The spiritual realm was removed. When it is rolled together and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. There's a spiritual understanding of these mountains and islands, you know. A mountain speaks of a great, powerful ministry. An island, kind of a one-man ministry. They're all being shaken. They're all being moved. Everything. My goodness, we need to really run into the body of Christ in this day, don't we? It's the only safe place to be. And the kings of the earth and great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men. My goodness, we're talking about the rich men. You've been reading the news this week about this man that made billions in this scheme where he defrauded. Do you know that he took down a bunch of charitable organizations with him that had invested their money in him, and he wiped them out? I mean, talk about islands and mountains going with him. Gone. There was a big ministry here in Schenectady years ago. You know who I'm talking about. Invested in some scheme. Took the whole ministry right down. Guy had 12 assistant or associate pastors with him. Thing went right down. Everything. Finances. Just a mighty shaking that took place. This was what, Larry, about 15, 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Probably 20 years ago.
Rich men, chief captains, mighty men, bond men, free men. What did they do? They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now here's another attempt to hide. Listen, we have a hiding place. They don't have a hiding place. Do you see this? There is no hiding place for the wicked, the unrighteous. No hiding place. And by the way, what are they trying to hide from? They're trying to hide from God.
Yeah.
It says, and they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne. The very presence of God on His throne. Listen, He's coming out of His place. They're going to see. They're going to know there is a God. He's not going to be an old senile grandfather on a big old rocking chair far away off there beyond the stars somewhere. He is going to be real.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He is going to be seen on His throne, which means He will manifest Himself as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords with the authority to do what He wants. And He will do it. And they will know where it's coming from. And they will know the brightness and the light of righteousness will be such a contrast to their hidden secrets of wickedness. Hallelujah. And from the wrath of the Lamb. Wrath of the Lamb? I would have said the wrath of the one riding the white horse. No, this is the wrath of the Lamb. I've never seen the Lamb in that place before. Have you? The Lamb is meek. The Lamb goes to his slaughter, sheds His blood without opening His mouth. But now, that same Lamb is manifesting a different side to Him, is He not? He's coming to set things right. Hallelujah. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And who is able to stand? I mean, that's a question for us as well.
Sure.
Don't just pass that off and say, oh, that's for those wicked, you know, scheming Wall Street people and the wicked politicians. No, it's not just for them. Ask yourself the question, who is able to stand? Did Malachi not ask that question? Let's just go back and finish with Malachi. Just one verse. I mean, it's a good verse. I love Malachi. Verse 2. Who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. So there again, it leaves it as a question. Who? Who indeed shall be able to stand? Do you have that verse? Psalm 15. Let's finish with Psalm 15, and that will answer the question of who shall be able to stand. Well, I think it answers the question. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now, we've had the invitation to come in, but who will come? Who is going to come into that place? He that walketh uprightly. So you can't be just doing your own thing and walking unrighteously and say, well, you know, I'll cheat and lie and steal and what have you. But when it comes time of trouble, I'll just quickly repent and I'll come in. No. He who walks uprightly and he who works righteousness, that means your works are going to be righteous. Amen? And speaketh the truth in his heart. No lying. No deceiving. Speaking the truth in your heart. Amen? He that backbiteth not with his tongue. Oh, there's more requirements, isn't there? Amen? Nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He gives his word, he keeps it. That's what it means. He said he's going to do it, he does it. Amen. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Amen. Well, that's a good word.
Where was that in
Psalm 15?
No, Malachi.
Oh, Malachi, it was
3:2?
Yeah, 3:2. Yeah. Amen. Well, God bless. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Larry, why don't you have closing prayer for us today?
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us even before the things come to pass, Lord. For you have said that your prophet Amos said that you reveal all things to us through the prophets that you sent to us. And Lord, you reveal it through your word. And God, we thank you that you've anointed us and given us a spirit that can understand these things. For it's only by your spirit that we have understanding and the wisdom as to what to do in the days ahead. But God, most of all, we thank you for your presence in our life. God, that we will not fear anyone nor anything to come, because we are hidden with you, Lord. God, I pray that you will speak to each of us, to every member of your body, Lord, to give us that wisdom and to prepare us for the days ahead. And God, that we would come in while there's still time into that secret place and abide there with you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we give you honor and glory for all things, Lord God, in our Lord Jesus' name.
Amen.